This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
So there are a lot of good books this week.
There are a lot of good books this week.
And there are a lot of books that I don't read anymore.
There's that too.
Yeah. There's one book I don't read anymore, I think, that you read. And the reason I didn't read it is because there's four letters on the cover.
Yes, yes.
And those letters are JRJR.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even
know
if...
How far did you get in?
I looked at the cover, and I said, God damn it, I forgot that he was going to be on this book. And I opened the first page, and I didn't even read the first panel. I just looked at the art, and I go, nope. And I closed it, and I went on to the next book. So I will be taking a hiatus from the Suicide Squad, which is a shame because I was enjoying it a lot, but I just can't do it.
So is it just the art? I mean, it's better than it was in All-Star Batman.
But better than it was in All-Star Batman is still worse than something that my four-year-old hands to me.
All right.
To me, I just can't. I can't look at it. It drives me bonkers. You know.
Well, what book did you read?
Well, I mean, before we go there, is there anything redeeming about the story in Suicide Squad?
Oh, I guess that's like where we differ, really, because you couldn't get past the art,
right,
even trying, you know what I'm saying, to read it. But, like, the art's just a afterthought to me, really. Something after I read it, I look at it and I go, oh, that's awesome, or, oh, yeah.
Right.
But the Suicide Squad is pretty good. I mean, it pretty much along the same storyline that it had been going on. I mean, I don't want to go too deep into it, you know,
right,
and take a... But, like, there's a lot of cool stuff that in play again, and I know you don't like Waller that much, but
well,
I like the concept of her, and then I like the concept of using the bad guys to do the missions that the squeaky clean heroes can't do.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I feel the same. I like the concept of Waller, I think, more than I like her in use.
Okay.
That sometimes it's, I don't know, sometimes they just do it too much, you know, like they push her too much. It's my same issue that I have with Harley Quinn. When Harley in the Suicide Squad is, you know, the way that she's been in this book, she's not completely in your face, and it's not bad. When there's too much of her, it's just like, oh man, I just can't even, it's too in my face, it's too much, it's too whatever. It's the same thing with Waller, I think, that, like, I get her character and the use for her character,
mm-hmm,
but too much of her just makes me not care, I guess.
Yeah, I could kind of see that too, but it's not like she's like Deadpool or Harley Quinn and everything, you know
right,
what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well.
But
there was one book that I realized as I was reading it that I really, really enjoyed the art style.
Mm-hmm.
And it surprised me because I was like, you know what? It's normally not my cup of tea. But as I'm reading the book, I was like, you know, the art is great and the way that it's colored is fantastic. And that's Teen Titans.
Okay.
I enjoyed the story as well. I like how it wrapped itself up. I mean, it kind of, as story arcs often do, it kind of wrapped itself up a little too neatly, too quickly.
Right.
That it seemed like if there was another issue, it would have been better than the way that it, the way that it happened with, like, Roz showing up and it literally like a half second fight where he strikes down and you know, Damien blocks him.
Right.
You know, blocks his sword. And then there's, like, a four-panel discussion, and then Roz leaves, and you're like, wait, why? This could have been so much cooler. There could have been, like, a much bigger confrontation. But, you know, either way, I still enjoyed it. I liked that the team did come together, that the seed has been planted in his cousin's mind, that, you know, maybe this isn't the right thing, especially like the look on her face when Roz was telling Damien, you know, you barely even beat your completely worthless cousin or whatever he said. And she's like that stunned look because she thought she was the chosen one. So I liked it. And like I said, I thought the way that this book, it, art-wise and story-wise, really sucked me in, and I enjoyed that. You know, it's not the greatest thinker book.
Right.
But it's just fun.
Yeah. It's and just I, one of those fun books.
Yeah.
And it's kind of different too. I don't know how to put it, but like where Super Sons, it's kind of like in like little kids range. I mean, not like little kids, you know what I mean? But
right.
Like all family fun, I guess. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, and then this one is kind of like in just in the kid zone.
Right.
But yeah, it has its own feel to it. So I'm enjoying it. I mean, I'm not going to be too critical of it because for what it is. Now, if it was like one of the core books or whatever, you know, I might be bashing a little bit here or there, but it's a super fun read. I liked it.
Yeah, like I like this one more than I like Super Sons, I think.
But yeah.
Like
yeah.
At least this issue.
Yeah.
And that sort of surprised me. Because I was expecting to like Super Sons, especially with how much I like Jonathan.
Right.
More, but this issue in particular was really the Damien that I like. That, you know, I'm glad that he's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I really liked the end with Batman. You know, I still don't understand the tower, like architecturally, what the benefit of having a giant T is, but
because it looks cool.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean, I like that it's there because it's, you know, it's been there.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. But yeah, I'm enjoying this one. I think this is going to be one of the rare books that I'm able to actually just like shut off my mind and have fun reading.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
So.
And yeah. You never know. Like, they used like Atlantean construction stuff to build the tower, right?
Did they in this one? Did I miss that?
Oh, maybe that. Which one was that? Was that maybe that was. No. Yeah. I think they said it in an earlier issue, right?
They might have.
So, I mean, you know, that's there in the Rebirth universe, so
yeah.
I'm sure it'll get used again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And also, you know, I'm curious who the sixth Titan is going to be.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any guesses?
I mean, my guess is it's probably going to be, you know, maybe Aqualad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, I got no idea. I just hope it's not Cyborg. So that him and Beast Boy can go booyah, booyah, booyah for 20 pages.
You know, like the old Titans guy in me? The old man guy? I would really like Jericho to be that new person, but I doubt it.
See, I like that we're getting a lot of Jericho in the Deathstroke book.
Mm-hmm.
Where his character is now, though, I don't really see him going to the Teen Titans.
Right, yeah, that's... Yeah.
So, you know,
I would say it's probably Aqualad, like you said, or... Yeah, I don't think it'll be Cyborg, because for the same reason.
Right.
I mean, we still got the Booyah over there. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities. I mean, there's a lot of people who have been in the Teen Titans that we haven't seen. I don't think in Rebirth so far.
Right.
So, I mean, it could be anybody. It could turn out to be his cousin for all we know.
Right.
You know, breaking away, and it's just, you know, the name of a story for a quick little team up or something. Mm-hmm. Unless it's Jonathan Kent.
Right.
But
yeah.
I don't know if they would put him. I don't know how far they want to push the, hey, look, Jonathan, you know, Superman's kid and Batman's kid are together.
Right.
It's interesting, but I think too much of it, you know, like with Super Sons, I think too much of it might start to ruin the fun.
Well, yeah, that's true. I guess I'm mixing them up, I guess, in my head, because Jericho's fit more on the Titans than on Teen Titans.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that.
So, scratch that.
Yeah.
Editor's note. Ronnie doesn't know what he's talking about.
Editor's note. Super Podcast Episode 4. AB. So speaking of Jericho, what did you think of the best book ever, Deathstroke?
I mean, that's, dude, it delivers every week, or yeah, every time. So I don't know how much more praise it needs from us.
Yeah, seriously.
Than what we give it every time.
The thing I really liked about this issue in particular, that, I mean, we've seen before, but we haven't seen it as much, is just how completely, insanely entangled the family relationships are.
Right.
And how basically they're all behind each other's backs, constantly doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just so dysfunctionally brilliant.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the brilliance.
Yeah.
It's that it's just, like you said, dysfunctional craziness.
Yep. Yeah, so good.
Yeah. Like, I know on another podcast they were talking, like, somebody said that this is what they wish Batman would be, like the Deathstroke book. But honestly, like, I wish this is what the Ninjak would be like.
I could, that would be interesting. I mean, but with him, though, he doesn't have the family.
Right, yeah.
Aspect of it.
Right.
But, yeah, man, just,
I think they just, I meant just like, the down, like, every once in a while you're a smart ass, but then, you know, you're all serious business and then you get the job done. The action sequence part of it, you know, not actual the family drama.
Right. Yeah, I think that the way that this book lays itself out, where it's not just straightforward storytelling,
mm-hmm,
that it's jumping back and forth, you know, from person to person or day to day, even.
Right.
That it does everything so well.
Yeah, it does.
That, I mean, if there's any aspiring comic book writers, they should read this and see how it lays out the story. Because it's, I mean, not only is it written well, it's set up terrifically. Everything plays off each other great. It reads really well, and it's just so good.
Oh, well, I don't think new comic writers should. Yeah, they can look at it for greatness, but I mean, this is his shtick. You know what I mean?
Right, but I'm saying it just in general. If you want to tell a story, the way that this book tells a story is so much better than a book like Green Lanterns tells a story.
True.
Where it's not beating you over the head with the same thing over and over again. Right. It's, you know, laying, you know, subtle little things or setting up little things, you know, like the beginning of the issue with, I just forgot what her name was in the bed.
Rose?
Yeah. you know, and she's like freaking out about getting married in a week and blah 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 whatever. And then at the end of the issue, where you see, you know, what that who's next to her,
yeah.
And it's just like, oh my god, because at first when it went, you know, when you see her waking up again and it's literally the same panels,
mm-hmm.
I was like, well, that's odd. And then of course, you know, Deathstroke is next to her, which is so good. It's like the callbacks and stuff like that that just really make this a fun, good book.
Yep.
So,
I agree.
You know, like you said, I don't know how much more we could possibly praise this thing.
Yeah. Because it's like you said, it's like all aspects of it, you know, with... You have the Deathstroke bowl, right? With a heaping pile of Deathstroke. And you sprinkle on some Jericho, and let me sprinkle on some... What's her name? What's his daughter's name?
Who, Ravager?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm just blanking on her name.
Well, that's the name. It's not Rose. It's Rose, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I had the wrong name earlier.
Right,
when you
yeah.
talked about it. And you sprinkle that on, and you let it marinate for a while, boom.
Yeah.
Awesome book.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And it's like, you know, his interactions with everybody, you know, the bad guys, good guys, the everybody. It's just, you know, it's just mm-hmm. great. So good. I mean, I look forward to that book, I think, more than pretty much every other book that I'm reading right now.
Yep. It's up there for me, for sure.
Yeah. One book that sort of let me down, and I was surprised, was the new Justice League of America.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did it let you down?
Well, this was the first issue, not the Rebirth one-shot, right?
Right.
Or was this the one-shot?
No, the one-shot was the last time.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. My problem with this is the whole premise of the Justice League of America that Batman sort of laid out is that he wants a team of heroes that can do stuff to show people, you know, a team of heroes that are human.
Right.
So that, you know, they can show people not to be afraid or whatever. And one of the main guys he has is like a superpowered alien.
Yeah.
That confuses me. And then it seems like they're, you know, saving people in a fire. They're doing, you know, human hero things. And then Batman's telling them, yeah, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to show people that, you know, people can be heroes and whatever. And then there's this weird, like, alien, interdimensional, whatever force that shows up. And you'd think that this would exactly be what the Justice League would be for. But instead, we're going to see, you know, Vixen and the Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I don't know. To me, it's not doing what it seemed like it was going to do. Like, I thought that it wasn't going to be the, you know, hey, we're...
Another Justice League book?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I can see that, but... I mean, besides the obvious that it has Justice League in the title.
Well, right, but I mean, there's always been...
I mean, you can't have, like, another Suicide Squad book either.
Unless they called it Suicide Squad of America and they use people instead of bad guys. Except one of them is, like, a super bad guy. It's, like, it's all a whole bunch of people, mm-hmm. except, like, the other one is, you know, Zod.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked it. I didn't like it as much as I did the one shot.
Okay.
But I did like it. And I liked it better than the original Justice League book.
Oh, yeah. Well, I enjoy this more than I do the Justice League, definitely. But I liked I really like the one-shots, the four individual character one-shots.
Yeah.
More, way more than I've liked either of the team books.
Yeah, I can see that. I can give you that, but maybe it's because it's one issue where it's fully on that one character.
Yeah, I mean, that could
maybe,
be it.
Maybe it's just not clicking for writing style, like flushing out everybody. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I like Steve Orlando, and I have faith that he will do well with this. Like, I don't think that this book was written well. I mean, I don't think that this it wasn't written well. Mm-hmm. That the book itself was written fine, but the I don't know the story. I just don't. It didn't care. You know, like I wasn't sitting there regretting reading it by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't. You know, where even with Teen Titans, you know, as the book is going on, I'm having a fun time. I'm really enjoying it. You know, everything's great. This, I was just, you know, just kind of moving from page to page.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So you weren't dreadful, but yet you weren't over the moon about it either.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it is just the first issue, so there's plenty of time.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of what I took out of it. I mean, even though this is technically the second issue.
Well, yeah.
I just took it as, yep, it's a number one, so... You know, it is what it is, and I still want to see where it goes from here and see if we can build on some things.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and the art was nice.
It was.
You know,
it was.
It looked great, but it's, you know.
Yeah, and I'm actually pleasantly surprised that I don't mind. I guess kind of like with Harley and Suicide Squad, I don't mind Lobo. Here.
Well, yeah, it's the same kind of thing. He only said he's the main man once.
Yeah.
So far.
Passage.
Yeah.
But where do you want to go from there, sir?
I don't know. You throw us in a direction.
I'll throw us in the Tailspin.
That book was terrible.
The cartoon's awesome, though.
I like Tailspin. I miss Tailspin.
I do. I'm trying to think. Usually you steer the ship because I don't have to think.
All right.
What didn't you read that came out this week?
What didn't I read?
Yeah. Like either didn't have time to or on purpose.
Oh, well, I did not on purpose read Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
I did not read Blue Beetle. Trying to think what else came out this week. I think this week was Hellblazer out this week, or was that last week?
It was this week, I believe.
This week, yeah, I didn't read that one either. But everything else I read. Being homesick had done wonders for my reading this week.
I know one that you didn't read, but it's not really a rebirth. It's Supergirl being super, number two.
Was that this week or was that last week?
I didn't read it.
Either way, I didn't read it.
I thought it was this week. No, it was last week.
Aha! Last week. Tried to trick me.
So was Hellblazer. Hellblazer was last week as well.
Really? Oh, okay. Okay, here's another one that I wasn't too into, but then... The ending happened, and I got way more invested in the comic.
Okay.
Batman Beyond.
Yeah. I can give you that, yeah.
What'd you think?
This book really has been, like, hit or miss for me. I like it because I like the cartoon, and it has similar feelings to the cartoon.
Right.
But, like, I think it... I want to say it was last issue. It wasn't a real solid issue for me. Even though I think that was like the big reveal, right?
With Bruce Wayne?
Yeah.
That was... it was the end, I think, of the third issue.
Okay.
But the fourth issue, it was where Terry found out, right?
Yeah. And that one should have been okay and like a solid issue for me, but I don't know. It was a disconnect for me. As to where, like, this one, it felt like, you know, we went off the road for a minute and we hit those little bump things on the highway. And then, you know, we steered the ship again and now we're back in smooth sailing.
Yeah, I feel very similar that I was extremely excited that this book was announced and it was going to actually be a Terry book, not, who was it, Jason Todd in the future?
Tim.
Tim Drake in the future. Like the new 52.
Right.
So it was a very happy moment that they were going to do that. And the first issue wasn't bad. You know, it got you kind of into it. It set things up. And then since then, it's just been kind of in a lull.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the Bruce Wayne reveal was great. And you're like, oh man, this is really good. And then it kind of goes back into a lull. But the end of this issue, where it turns out that the guy that's just been following him around the whole time was the Joker.
Yeah.
Was awesome. And I didn't see it coming until, like, right before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
When you're like, oh, that's got to be some... Like, I wasn't thinking it was the Joker. I was thinking it was, you know, someone completely unrelated. But that's fantastic.
I agree. And that's like I said, this is where we jerk the car back on the highway and we hit cruise control again.
But my fear, though, is that this... I'm trying to think of the TV show. There was a show... You know what? For me, this book is like The Walking Dead, the TV series, where...
Only in reverse?
No. No, it's exactly like The Walking Dead in that I'll sit and I'll read 20 pages or, you know, like with The Walking Dead, you watch the first 50 minutes of the show and absolutely nothing happens. And you're just like, you know what? Maybe I'm just going to give up and I'll stop watching the show. And then the last 5 minutes, there's something crazy awesome that happens. And you're like, ah, yeah, you know what? I'm going to watch next week's episode. This book, to me, it's like that a lot. That I'm reading it, and every once in a while, you're just like, oh, this is kind of interesting. But for the most part, it's just like, eh. And then it gets to the end, and there's, you know, the reveal that it's Bruce Wayne, not the Joker. Then it's, you know, the reveal that the Joker's still alive, or, you know, everything. Right. You're like, all right, you know what, I gotta keep reading. And, I mean, I'm gonna keep reading because I like Batman Beyond way more than I like the terrible Walking Dead TV show.
I was going to say, you threw me a curveball because you were like, The Walking Dead, and I was like, you don't even watch that TV show.
No, I quit watching that show because it's
so
garbage.
So I thought you were saying that it was like that only reverse as to where you love the Batman Beyond cartoon, and like in the comic books, it's going slow for you. You can't do it. You know what I mean?
I do still love
the Walking Dead comics, but
yes.
You can't stand the TV show. So.
Correct. I meant more in that there's long stretches of nothing really going on,
okay.
or nothing overly exciting going on, and then right at the end when you're about to just give up, something awesome happens.
Okay.
And, right. I mean, it's a good way to finish the episodes or issues, but it would be nice if there was more to keep me excited the whole time.
I can see that.
You know, my fear is that one of these issues, whatever the cool thing is not be enough for me to be like, yeah, I guess I'll read it again.
Yeah, I'll trade weight. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. What about action?
Loved it. If Deathstroke didn't come out this week, this would have been my favorite book.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Creepy Clark is the best.
Yeah.
He's the best.
I'm just glad that the story's finally getting to him. Because before, he was just annoying me off. For being creepy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I don't know about, pissing me off, but, more that I was mad that they were just teasing him so much without doing anything with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, I agree. This was probably one of my favorite books of the week.
Yeah, him proposing at the dinner was the best. You know, and I loved the ending where he followed her back to wherever the house is in Hamilton County, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Where you know, he's staring at them through the window enjoying their dinner. Mm-hmm. Basically realizing that, you know, what's going on. Mm-hmm. Which is great, because now you know who the creepy guy with the glasses was that Jonathan was seeing, you know, watching the family in the fields.
Yeah.
So, fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is how you tie together books that are connected but not connected, if you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a good job. And everything else that's going on, like with the people that Clark had locked up.
Yeah.
Now freed.
Yeah.
I mean, all kinds of hell is going to break loose there. And yeah, it's going to be happening right when he's dealing with the whole Clark thing. So it's going to be good. Real good.
So, see that? I have a theory on that.
Uh-oh.
I don't think that he, as in the proper Clark, my kid Clark, you know what I mean?
Okay.
The pre-52 Clark? Superman.
Right.
I don't think he's going to be the one to take on Clark, creepy Clark. I think he's going to be tied and away with the people that busted out of the Fortress of Solitude, and then it'll be Jonathan and Lois that'll be have to, or maybe even just Lois that has to deal with creepy Clark.
I could see that.
Because it gives them something to do, or especially her. And you know, she's not your typical mom, or you know, just let stuff go and defenseless. You know, so.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, this, I guess it's the, what is it, Superman Reborn?
Yeah.
Is the crossover thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that I'm very excited about a Superman crossover is very new to me.
See, and you were worried about it when it got first announced.
Yeah, I wasn't so much worried about the event happening. But it's the same thing with the Night of the Monster Man. I thought, and I still think it's too early to be doing crossover stuffs. But, I mean, if you do it well.
Yeah, if it's executed, then
it's
not going to really matter.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, action's another one. Like, I can't say enough good things about that book.
Mm-hmm. It's an underdog, too, I think. From, like, our general circle of friends. Like, all other good books get pimped out, but Action is, like, the underdog.
Well, I think part of it with Action is there were maybe, trying to think, like, six to eight issues... of the book, I thought were just kind of meh. And it was like one right after another. Like the first arc I thought was great. Mm-hmm. And then it really took up until, you know, the last one where the Godslayer was coming after Lex.
Right.
For this book to really grab me again.
Creepy Clark.
Yeah, I mean, like there were a couple issues, you know, where they did focus on Clark that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it wasn't to me as good as the first bit.
Okay.
And I mean, Superman was so good, and you know, obviously I don't have enough time for two Superman books in my life. So when when Superman was consistently great and action was kind of, you know, eh, that I was like, oh, okay, you know, here's where it all falls apart, you know, for the Superman stories.
But it didn't.
No, it rebounded. It rebounded in a good way.
It rebirthed itself.
Oh, I see what you did there.
What about Tech?
Yeah, it was all right.
Really?
That's no, it? I liked it. No, I mean, it's another one that's always good.
That's all you're going to give me? Just a couple of... That was good?
Yeah, I mean, what else is there to say?
Well, I mean, we just spent 20 minutes talking about Superman and action and Creepy Clark.
It wasn't 20 minutes. It's like maybe 4.
Well, whatever.
No, I mean, I like it. You know, anytime Batman walks into a murder scene or an about-to-be murder scene, you know he's going to be the one that gets blamed for it.
Right. Yeah.
Especially when it's, who was it, the mayor?
Mm-hmm.
But,
the mayor.
You know, I mean, it. Again, it's... This issue really brought it back after I didn't care as much about the 950 issue special super story thing.
Which you're crazy, but continue.
Whatever. I never said I wasn't crazy. But I thought this one, you know, especially you had that and you had the 2-issue Batwoman rebirth story.
Mm-hmm.
That after the whole thing with Stephanie going down after the Night of the Monster Men and after the whole thing with, you know, with Tim and everything else, it was really, I mean, if you think about it, it was only 6 weeks.
Right.
You know, that was kind of a lull.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're waiting 3-4 months like you usually would be.
Right.
But this issue definitely, it brought it right back for me.
Yeah. I think detective and action are like contrast of each other. Not okay. Saying that one's good and one's bad. I'm just saying like detective is the dark and gritty. Not self-pity either, but you know, cause all of the characters are still like in mourning and, or dealing with stuff. Personal
right.
stuff, you know, and action is it's getting a little darker, but it's not, you know, because it's the bright side of things, the family focused stuff.
Well, I mean,
the
detective
happy family
is kind
time type stuff as to yeah. where detective's like the bad,
the real family
stuff, right. Like the bad memories is where action's like the good memories, you know. Let's stay there, you know, type thing. And then, yeah. Hey, do you remember when my brother got killed in a car wreck from a DWI? You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the 2 contrasts I was going with.
It's sort of like Deathstroke in a way, like with Detective. That, with the exception of with Deathstroke... You know, they're always just kind of screwing with each other. With mm-hmm. this one, it's a lot of the same friction between people, but they genuinely like each other.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, except for poor Luke. I think some of them just tolerate him.
Well, I mean, he's still newish. I mean, granted, they're all pretty newish.
Yeah.
But still.
I like that some of the things are clicking. Like they're having their own little clicks type thing.
Right. Well, I mean, it's only natural.
Yeah.
You know, you see it in like the Justice League too.
Yeah. True.
But
What didn't you like about this book though? This issue anyway.
I don't think there was anything I really didn't like about this issue.
Oh. Because you just said it was good. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, because I was messing with you.
Oh. Well, you suck again.
No, I mean, Detective is always good.
Yeah, I agree.
I think
it has those slow issues, too, but even when it has those slow issues.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, the way that it ended with all the black-eyed kids.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah, see?
Black-eyed kids always make things cooler.
Yeah, seriously. I like how they're all saying, look at their eyes, what's wrong with their eyes? And I was like, I know what's wrong with their eyes. I'm reading that comic.
Yeah. Like, wait, is Joe Pruitt a co-writer on this book now?
Yeah, somehow.
What else we got to talk about, buddy?
I don't know. You know, I'm thinking about it, and I think Detective maybe dropped out of my top three.
Really?
For this week anyway.
Yeah, because you got action. And
Deathstroke was definitely my favorite in action.
And then Teen Titans, right?
No. No, I'll get to my favorite. You know what? I'll jump to my favorite now. I think right. Hal Jordan.
Your third favorite?
Yeah, my third favorite. Favorite.
Okay.
I think Hal Jordan may have been that. I'm really liking where the story's going with the yellows and the greens teaming up. Mm-hmm. It's something, I mean, it's very different and interesting. And now that, you know, you have Kyle and Hal mm-hmm. bringing St. Walker back into the fold.
Yeah, which I really like.
And you have Guy off on this planet. And the only thing I'm confused about is, without his Green Lantern ring, how's he breathing the air on this planet? But whatever. I like how he goes without his ring to find Arkillo.
Yeah.
Because he realizes that they're, you know, they're pretty much the same thing. And right. They're going to have to just beat the crap out of each other to become, you know, to understand each other. Mm-hmm. I loved how John and Sornik are setting up, you know, they're trying to set up the partners, you know, how they're setting up the teams. And and as they're doing it, they're like, okay, we need, where's Guy? We got to do this. And they're like, oh no, Guy's not here. And they're like, oh, okay. And well, Hal's not here and Kyle's not here. And great. So we're trying to make it look like, you know, we have leadership and then people are just running off doing what they want to do. Mm-hmm. That it, I mean, it's typical of what Guy and Hal have always done. But I'm very much enjoying where this is going and how it's getting there. And I'm also very glad that it was not Sinestro that Guy was sitting and waiting for.
Yeah. Because I'm very glad about that.
I had that dread at one point mm-hmm. where I'm reading it and I was like, oh crap, they're going to bring back Sinestro way too soon. And I'm trying to think when he first came out, he was kind of hooded, right? Yeah. Like you didn't really see. I'm trying to find
or
a page
shadowed out. At least. I don't know.
Right. Hooded, but. Oh yeah, it basically just says you know, and you see the shoulder in the shadows.
Right.
I was like, oh great, but oh thank goodness. It's just good. It's just a lot. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of good. And it's characters I've always liked being written by a guy, I think, who understands them. Mm-hmm. And goes at it differently than, I guess, like a Jeff Johns would.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
it's
good.
I like Jeff Johns.
I know.
The weird one. But, you know, like where he writes like these grandiose, Johns, these like gigantic stories. Venditti does the same thing, but I think he lays groundwork and like the seeds for future stuff.
Right.
I think he might do that a little better, in my opinion. You know, because there's a lot of little subtle things that have been happening throughout this entire series that have brought us to where we are. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anybody else could have written it that way.
Yeah, see, I can see how you're enjoying it so much. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy it, but like, I've never been a hardcore Green Lantern fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, because you obviously have grown up incorrect in everything that you know.
Well, I'm not saying I don't like them. I'm just saying that...
That you don't like them. I get it.
No, I'm just saying they're good and all, and the story has been great. I don't think it. This book makes my top three this week.
Oh, my goodness.
But
you're too busy reading garbage.
Well, one man's garbage is another man's treasure. But all the reasons that you said, I was really, really thankful that it wasn't Sinestro.
Yeah.
Just like you said. Because I think he needs to be put on the shelf for a while. At least a year.
Yeah, I mean, when he comes back, it'll be cool.
Yeah.
But the story needs to grow well before... Because, I mean, if he came back now, the whole partnership between the Greens and Yellows goes away.
Yep.
And I want to see where that goes.
Right.
Before some of the Yellows who are loyal to him go back, and some of them stay, and then you have... You know, I want to see the Sinestro loyalists fighting alongside the Green Lanterns.
Yeah. For a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just seeing how they deal with each other and work together and everything. I mean, it's going to set up, I think, some interesting altercations.
Yeah, I agree. It's good. The whole dynamic is set up to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And interesting. So.
Yep.
Got anything else?
Yeah, it's a few more books.
You want to talk Suicide Squad winning Oscars?
Yeah, we could do that.
No, I'm just kidding.
I saw an interesting statistic, actually. Since, I think, 1989, any movie that has had the Joker in it has won an Academy Award.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, because like the original Tim Burton Batman, I think, won a bunch of like production stuff.
Okay.
And then, you know, Heath Ledger, Dark, you know, that one won. I think that one won a couple also. But then now Suicide Squad won. And you know Lego Batman's going to end up winning a bunch of stuff next year.
Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
Not yet. I haven't had a chance. We were going to go see it in the theater, and then everyone got sick. And then everyone got healthy, and then I got sick. So, yeah. I might take the boys this weekend.
Cool.
Yes, sir.
The boys will love it.
Oh, I'm sure they will. They loved the first Batman movie. The first Lego movie, I should say. And they've really enjoyed all of like the Lego DC specials that they've been doing on Cartoon Network.
I got you.
Or, I guess some of them maybe were direct-to-video. I'm not even sure.
Yeah, some but of them are on Netflix, I think, too.
Yeah, I mean, they always air them on Cartoon Network at some point. So, you know, there's been one with the Justice League. There's been, you know, like, there's been a few that they've really enjoyed. And it's not, I don't think that there is as purposely humorous as the Lego Batman movie will be.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still looking forward to it. And I think they'll really like it, too.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, that's I enjoy kids' movies that I can enjoy on a different level than my kids. And instead of like the Angry Birds movie where I just go and I sit and like
you
nothing.
Be an Angry Bird?
Oh yeah, my wife called me the Red Angry Bird for a while because of how angry I was that I had to go see that movie.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean like there's nothing redeemable for adults in that movie, I thought. Whereas the Lego movie, I think, will be great. Speaking also of great, The rogues are great.
The rogues are great.
And I really like this Flash storyline.
Yep, agreed. Even though you didn't like the last one.
I liked the last one. Didn't I like the last one?
You didn't. Maybe the last one, maybe, but the one before that, when they first showed up?
Oh, yeah, because they didn't show up until later on, right?
Well, Flash was running around introducing them and talking about them. And that's the one you didn't like.
That's right. I did not like that because of how it was done. It was just stupid.
Editor's note, two episodes ago. RB.
Yeah. You know, like, you don't have to give me an issue where you literally tell me who every character is, and that's your entire story.
True.
You know, like, you could do that during the story and have it flow better and have me care, especially about characters that I like. You know, it got the Green Lanterns treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But
from you, it got the Green Lanterns treatment.
From everybody, it was bad. It was bad.
I liked it.
But this issue and the last one were great. I mean, the rogues... When the rogues are the rogues,
yes,
they're fantastic.
That's an excellent way to put it.
Why, thank you.
There's your compliment. One episode per podcast. Yep. So.
Well, now I shall quit podcasting because I will never reach this plateau again.
Well, not until next episode.
No, maybe. We'll see.
But don't count your chickens on the wrestling one.
Yeah, and I know you haven't been too solid on too sold on the art.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, some of it in this one I can see where your complaints lie, that it is a little sloppy. But I think I love the effects that they have in. Like the page where, you know, there's the top panel where Flash was punching I guess he was hitting Captain Cold.
Yeah.
And the Flash is just like all lit up like the Speed Force.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
See,
you know, just,
and I have had issues with that before, or the last couple issues, but I thought this issue, I don't know why, but like this issue, it seemed like it clicked better.
Interesting.
But it's still not my favorite art, though. So.
You know, was this another one where there were like two or three people on the art?
I don't know. You're the one that paid attention.
I think there was. Yeah, like there, the guy, what's his name? DGN Domenico?
Sure.
He's the one that was doing the art at the beginning. And it's the one that I thought was, you know, like the art was kind of rushed, but it looked like it was done like a Flash, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, purposely rough and looking like it's moving.
Right.
But the way that he does, or maybe the color, whoever puts in like the Speed Force effects, I think with his art it looks really, really spectacular. But then there's also two other guys, and there's two different colorists as well. So I mean, maybe that's why this issue clicked for you, that maybe some of the pages were not
that I noticed the most were actually the ones that
he didn't
original.
Do. Yeah, because I'm sort of flipping through it now, and you can see, you can definitely see where the art changes. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But, man, those effects, so good. Like, I really, really like the Speed Force lightning effect stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really pops in this book, for me, anyway.
I can see that. I can see why you like it. And I think it's a great concept to do it that way, because it hasn't been done before. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And
so it stands out, and you get that effect of wow. But, or at least some people get that effect.
Right. Yeah, the other thing I really enjoyed about this one is it gets the rogues wondering. You know, especially Golden Glider. How, you know, why don't I pull the trigger? Like, we have the Flash dead to rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why don't we just finally just end this once and for all. Like, why do we have to keep going through this same thing over and over and over again?
Right.
And I like seeing, you know, Cold telling her, like, no, that's not us.
Yeah.
You know, like, that their pote is great.
Right. Yep. And it's awesome to see, like, the new Trickster, too, who has the issue with that still as well, I think.
Yeah.
Especially, like, the last couple of issues. He's, like, the wild card
of
the group now.
Yeah.
Or the new wild card, you should say. But
yeah. Yeah, and the fact that now Captain Cold's apparently a mob boss.
Yep.
It's great.
Yeah. Moving on up in the criminal world, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. In the span of 6 months, he went from being in the Justice League to being the head of all crime in Central City.
True.
Yeah, for the life of me, I can't remember how his Justice League run ended. He was there, and then all of a sudden he was, like, hired on by Lex to be his personal security. Like, the head of his security, and then he just kind of wasn't anymore.
The new 52?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't remember if there was a resolution or if it just sort of went away when the new 52 ended. Yeah, like, that's how memorable the story it was.
Wow.
Yeah. I think there's only two more books, I believe. And I will let you pick. We could go Batgirl or Wonder Woman. Yeah, Wonder Woman.
Let's go Wonder Woman, because I didn't get around to reading Batgirl.
Okay, that's fine. What were your thoughts on this?
Wonder Woman is probably gets my most improved medal.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I was trashing the series, like, for the first 4 weeks. And then, yeah. I think I know your turnaround point was the Cheetah-centric issue.
Well, I always liked the year one stuff. But where the whole series really turned was that one with her.
Yeah. But I think mine was like the issue before. And I don't even really... I say that because I can't remember exactly what happened.
Was
in
it
that
the
issue?
One where Wonder Woman freed them from the guy, the tree guy?
I think so. Yeah, I think okay. so. And then she freed Steve or helped Steve out.
Yep. Yeah, and then those women were like doing their weird chanting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But this one's. It keeps being solid. The art's great on it. It's not. It's just now coming into being a consistent book for me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I was thinking that when I was reading this issue. That I think as I was reading this, I realized that it's been the last maybe like 3 or 4 issues of this book that I've liked all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought how weird that is, because the first, I mean, it was really like flip-flopping each issue.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. I think maybe giving Rucka the benefit of the doubt, maybe, to let him play that story out.
Right.
To where, you know, it all ties in together, and then the mall issues were great, too.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, that I think that one was my favorite, with the exception of the Cheetah episode.
Mm-hmm.
The Cheetah issue, I keep saying that. I think the one at the mall was the best, where they're introducing her to everything.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Batgirl?
Yeah, I mean, you didn't read Batgirl, so I don't have to spoil it if you don't want me to.
I'm just like a week old, so I didn't read it, so
alright, well basically it starts off with, I thought it was great. She's like on a subway, and there's, you know, with, I just forgot the guy's name that she's sort of dating-ish. Ethan, right?
I believe so, yes.
They're like on a subway, and this hologram of Two-Face comes up, and she's like, Two-Face, and like flips out.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically it's like, oh, there's bombs on this train, and you have to figure it out. And it pretty much turns out that they're in an escape room. Yeah, basically, the date that they go on is they go to an escape room. And that's what, you know, they're trying to figure out where the bomb is and how to get rid of the bomb and everything else. So it's not, you know, like it's Batgirl being Batgirl, but it's her as Barbara being Batgirl with a, like, on a date.
Right.
So it's kind of, it was pretty funny. And of course, his app thing, he has an app that also escort you home safely from places.
Right.
So of course she thinks that's terrible. I think the best part of this story is, you know, for her librarian's degree or whatever it is, she goes to this school to teach kids how to use computers. Mm-hmm. And she thinks it's going to be this joke, you know, where she's going to have to do like this basic stuff. But there's this one girl who's just like an absolute prodigy, who's just like taught herself all this coding stuff. And there's one like little thing that she couldn't figure out. She's like, yeah, I don't get how this works. And Barbara's like all super excited because she's like, oh, you know this and you know that. And, you know, so basically, you know that she's going to, something eventually will happen with this little kid where the little kid will end up turning into Oracle or something like that. You know, I think, but it's when they're leaving the class, this woman comes to pick up the girl, and that's how she finds out that there's, you know, this app that you know, kind of like Uber, except they'll just like walk you safely home.
Right.
And of course, it's, you know, Ethan is the one behind it, and the whole point is basically, you know, he is going to try and bring down Batgirl.
Really?
You know, because she's kind of screwing with whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Dun-dun-dun. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you know, if you have an Uber, a safe walk home, right?
Yeah.
There's 10,000 things that can go wrong with that app.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you could be kidnapped and sold into weird testing, like what was happening in last issue, 2 issues ago.
Yeah. Or, you know, some guy dressed up in a clown can come and take you home.
Yeah.
Who'd want
that? That's also true. I don't know. I know it might be interesting. I mean, it's 2017. Like, are all clowns bad clowns?
Probably not. My clown.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Batgirl, it's... This one, it falls into the same category as Teen Titans does.
Mm-hmm.
That it's... It looks good. It's a fun read. And... oh, yeah, that's why Ethan... You knew Ethan was going to be bad. He's the Penguin son.
She keeps
She's, like, questioning him. Like, oh, you know, what about... I can't believe that you're his son or whatever. And basically, he tells the story how, you know, he basically was abandoned, except... You know, like his mother, they moved away, and he always sent them checks. And
right.
As soon as he turned 18 or graduated high school, I forget which, he sent him like a big check and said, you know, this is for your education. And now, you know, like my paternal responsibility towards you is finished.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back to see the Penguin face to face just so he could rip the check up, you know, and tell him he doesn't want his money.
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, basically, he ended up using that money after he saw his father, and his father's like, yeah, you mean nothing to me. I knew you would be whatever, like a whiny little sniveling little idiot or whatever.
Right.
So he ended up taking the money, and instead of college, that's what he used to start his companies.
And see, I like that aspect, but do you have to turn him bad, though, to do that?
Come on. You didn't think that... Batgirl's love interest was going to be bad?
No. I mean,
no, you didn't?
Oh, yeah, I saw that coming.
Yeah, so.
I mean, because that poor girl can't get a good guy.
Well, it was nice, though, because, you know, at first, because Nightwing has, like, the new girl he's kind of dating.
Yeah.
And then you get to this, and you're like, oh, look, Batgirl's got a new boyfriend, too. And that's nice, because, you know, they just recently sort of broke up-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, her boyfriend turns out to be evil.
Right. So does that mean that Nightwing and the Phaser's going to break up, too?
I hope not, because they're a love to last for all time.
Yeah. Better than Twilight.
Oh, yeah. I think getting picked up by an Uber clown is better than Twilight.
Could be. Could be. I don't think I've had either, so.
What is going on? Yeah, I mean, like, overall, I thought of the books that I read, none of them were disappointments this week. Like, there were a few that were just kind of eh, but I don't think anything was bad.
Liar.
What?
Liar.
Oh, yeah, Justice League of America kind of sucked.
And Suicide Squad.
I didn't read it.
You made it 4 pages.
No, I made it a panel, and I didn't even read the text because I just closed the book, and it does not exist anymore to me.
All right. So are you actually getting that, or did you read it on your iPad?
What was that?
Are you actually getting
it? I got a digital copy of it to read on my iPad.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to... I mean, I'm assuming that the story is going to be important to what happens in the future, so I will just wait and get a trade, maybe, and suffer through it.
Yeah. You're going to have to before when the Switch artists again.
Yeah, but I think when the artist switch happens,
mm-hmm.
I'll just pick the book back up and hope that it explains itself enough so I know what happened.
Or text me. Be like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I don't know. Look back 2 issues ago.
Yeah, and I'll be like, yep, guess what? Don't care. Looking it up online. I'll just find a summary somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Uber clowns? Bagel tacos?
No, man. I got so much ground meat because they didn't have the small one, so I bought like the super jumbo.
The 5 pound one?
Is it... No, it's only, like we usually do, I guess, like the 1.5 pounds, but this I got a 3 pounder, so I'm going to make a lot, I think tomorrow, because I'm off, I'm just going to go nuts and make a lot of tacos for lunch. Maybe I'll do it for lunch for me and my 4-year-old.
See how many you guys can eat.
Oh my God, I will eat all of it. And then I will, I can't eat all of it, I'll eat some of it, so that I can... Go out and get some bagels and then taco bagel it up.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, you got anything else, brother?
Nope. You got anything you want to talk about?
Well, I'm done.
Cool.
I think I'm going to go get some supper. And I don't know. Enjoy a night off. Because this week really messed me up a little bit.
Yeah, it's still so early for you to be home.
I know.
What will you do?
I don't know.
You know what's going to happen.
On time?
As soon as you take the headset off, you're just going to pass right out.
Maybe.
You'll wake up at like 1 in the morning, like, oh, I want to get something to eat.
Probably.
Excellent. Well, you have been listening to Rebirthically, episode...
Uber Clown.
40-ish? Right?
Yeah.
Something like that?
I think so. 31.
I don't even know. 31, really? Jeez, where'd I come up with 40?
Oh, it might be. I don't know. I was just throwing out a number.
38.
Okay.
Is it 38? Yeah, 38. I just looked it up.
All right.
If you would like to get in touch with us, you can tweet me at Aaron S. Bell. You could tweet to Ronnie at Rombar316 and congratulate him on his new awesome job. You could tweet the show directly at NLRebirthically. You could email the show at rebirthically@gmail.com. You can use our brand new app, Uber Clowns, where we will send a clown to pick you up in a car.
Not just any car, sir. A clown car.
That would be pretty terrific.
Yeah.
So what would a clown car be? Would that be like a Mini, or would that be like a smart car?
I would say it probably be a Mini.
Yeah. Because maybe we get 10 to 12 clowns in that Mini to come and pick you up and drive you where you're going.
Exactly. And then, we could talk to Luke and he can make us a second app so you can also get taco bagels from clowns when they come pick you up.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? I'm going to start that service.
There you go.
I will send a clown to your house with a taco bagel.
Yeah. You might be scared shitless when you open the door, but you'll thank him when you leave.
Yeah. You know what, though? I don't think I would trust food that a clown randomly showed up at my house with. And not even packaged. It would just be on a plate.
Yeah. A styrofoam plate.
Yeah.
Not even a fancy-dancy, plate. It has to be styrofoam.
And I'll give you a spork.
Because you can't decide whether to eat it with a fork or a spoon, so we're just going spork.
Heck yes. I am full of terrible ideas tonight, so I will say thank you and good night.
Later.